Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, hump day, April 10th, 2024. Stephen St. John, a very throaty Nate Bucati.
Morning.
And Jake Gutierrez. And the red-hot Kansas City Royals on fire. Do not touch them, or you will burn. The Royals beat the Houston Astros in dramatic fashion in 10 innings last night, 4-3. Game winner by Salvador Perez. Boy.
Thank you, my friend.
Boy.
Thank you, my friend.
Boy, oh boy. Hey, that's something. And now the Royals are 7-4, including a beautiful 6-2 record at home.
Hello.
Man, oh man. Royals are red hot. This is crazy. I was at a, had a lunch meeting with a valued partner client. Had a lunch meeting over at our friend's. With our friends at Amini's, and we were enjoying some Meat Mitch barbecue and discussing the goings-on around Kansas City, and someone asked me, hey, are the Royals good? And I said, hey, I think so. It's early, as they say in baseball, but I think they are. And then we had a nice discussion about the upgrades they made to the rotation, the emergence of some young players, the recent excellence of the bullpen. And so I don't know how good they are, but if the question today is, are the Royals good? The answer is yes. A hell of a lot better than they were last year. We can all agree to that. That does yes. It. That's a low bar. But, I mean, so far, they've exceeded all expectations that that I've had for the first couple of weeks of the season. And last night was a good example, I thought, of Cole Reagan showing that he really can be a number one, a frontline starting pitcher, because, and you say, well, you're crazy. Look at his line. He wasn't that good last night. I think that, especially for a young pitcher trying to establish himself in the major leagues, and a young pitcher trying to establish himself as an ace like Cole Reagans is, with a lot of expectations, of course, it's fun to watch them and judge them when they have no-hit stuff or they throw 7 shutout innings and strike out 10 or have a sparkling outing. But it's when they're up against a tough lineup and maybe they don't have their best stuff or they don't have their command or they're fighting themselves or fighting something and it just doesn't look like it's their night. But yet they're able to gut their way through the outing, keep their team in the game, not let things get away from them, and live to fight another day. Cole Reagans was not on last night, but if you told me he pitched 5 innings and gave up 10 hits against the Astros, I'm thinking, oh boy, 6-7 runs? What was the score when he left? I mean, he gutted his way through 5 innings. And when he was done, he'd only given up 3 runs. Now, is that great? Do you want him to do that every outing? No. No, sir. It took him 96 pitches to get through 5 innings. He gave up 10 hits, only gave up 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, but only 3 earned runs. And what did that do? That allowed the Royals to come back. Because after he had thrown 5 innings, the Royals came up in the bottom of the 5th, put up a 3 spot, and tied the game. that very easily could have been 5 or 6 to nothing. And then we're not talking about the Royals with a comeback victory in 4-3. We're just talking about, well, the Astros are really good. They were too much for Cole Reagans last night. It wasn't his night. He'll bounce back next start, and let's see if the Royals can win the next two against Houston. Instead, we're talking about, hey, Cole Reagans, and I really look forward to talking to Mike Boddicker about this here in a little bit. Cole Reagans didn't have his best stuff. Cole Reagans, it wasn't his night. And he got through 5 innings. He only gave up 3 runs. He left the game in a manageable situation, a reasonable situation for the Royals able to be able to come back, and they did. And it was 3-3 at the end of 5. And then we go to the next really good story from last night, really positive. The bullpen did their job again. So how many games in a row now that they haven't given up a run? 5 games in a row? They didn't give up any runs in the 4-game series against the White Sox, and they didn't give up any runs last night. And that's a big spot for them last night, because when the bullpen takes over the game, it's 3-3 after 5. And they give up nothing. Anderson, Stratton, Schreiber, MacArthur combined for 5 scoreless innings. Gave up 4 hits. Struck out 5. And walked no one. Walked no one. So the combination of Reagans and 4 relievers, 5 pitchers combined for 10 innings and walked 1 guy. Throwing strikes. Struck out 10. And they got through it. And they allowed the offense. And look, the Astros are good. The Astros are loaded with good arms. They were able to get to Javier. And then eventually they were able to win it against the Astros bullpen in the 10th with a game winner from Salvador Perez. You look at the lineup, a couple of hits from Nelson Velasquez, a couple of hits from Salvi. Bobby Witt Jr. came through again. Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr. got a hold of some balls that I saw. I think Garcia's would have been a home run in 10 or 11 parks, and Witt's would have been a home run when he flew out to the wall, like a home run in 22 parks. But whatever. Bobby Witt Jr. still had a big hit, a big triple. And so, I mean, hey, when everything's going perfect for you, when everything's going great for you, and you're not battling adversity, and you go out there and you blow hitters away, everyone's impressed with that. But you should also be impressed when you're facing adversity and you're facing a good baseball team and you don't have your best stuff, or you're battling your command and you're able to gut your way through 5 innings. That says something. That says a lot, you know. Let's not talk about what you are on your best day. What are you able to do on your worst day? What are you able to do when you're not yourself? What are you able to do when you don't have it? And so I was really impressed with Cole Reagans being able to get through the 5 innings and allow the Royals to put themselves in position to win that game last night, 4-3. And as frustrating as it is to lose a game where you have a lead late and the bullpen blows it, this is how exciting it can be for a team to win a game when they were down 3-0, when their ace didn't have their best game, and the bullpen comes in and shuts the Astros down. You have a golden opportunity to score, and you don't take advantage of it. You think, oh, missed opportunity there. We're going to pay for that one. Yet the bullpen still puts up zeros, and you're able to eventually win it in the 10th. And the Royals had a golden opportunity to take the lead in the 6th when Melendez walked and Melendez stole second, and Velasquez singled. And so you got first and third with nobody out, right? You got to score. I mean, you get big eyes. You're thinking, oh boy, two runners on, nobody out. This could be a big inning. But at the very least, you got to take the lead. You got to score. You got to get that runner home from third. And I mean, you watching Twitter and listening to or reading what people were saying, oh, Royals just lost the game there. They're not going to come back from that. You can't do that against the Astros. Because what happened after that when the Royals had first and third with nobody out? Frazier struck out. Montero comes in. Renfro grounds into a fielder's choice at third. Velasquez a second. Melendez out at home. And then Isbell flied out. You're thinking, oh. You have to take advantage of those situations. You have to take advantage of those opportunities. And that just felt like we're going to look back at that, and that's going to be that one's going to leave a mark. But it didn't, because the bullpen did their job, and the Royals came back and won in 10 innings. So, look, I don't know where this is going. I really don't. I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. And this team was god-awful last year. Just terrible. Terrible to watch. I'm sure terrible to play on. Terrible to manage. Terrible for J.J. Piccolo to watch. We have Scott Sharp on. A lot of people assume that he's going to come on at 9:30. He's going to come on at 9 o'clock, people. 9 o'clock. If you're hoping, I want to hear Scott Sharp at 9:30. No, 9 o'clock. All right? Talk to Jake about that. And so, 9 o'clock, Scott Sharp. I'm sure, I mean, you think it was fun for him to watch that? No. That was fun for no one. The guys selling, and gals selling hot dogs, they didn't want to see it. You think it was fun for Slugger? It left him speechless. They were so bad.
You got an appetite, I got a hot Stephen Winnie here for you.
You know, you think Pasquatch like that? No. Vinny got hurt and Pasquatch disappeared. We don't even know what the hell happened to him. He got depressed and he was up in the mountains somewhere. I don't know. He disappeared like he does. So, and again, I don't know where this is headed. But just to have a team that was so... How many games did they lose last year? What was their... I've tried to erase that from my mind. It should be on the tip of my tongue ready to tell you, but I don't hold on to those things. I try to forget they happened. Oh. Say the record.
I knew it was over 100. 106.
That's
106.
I didn't want to say it. That wasn't just a bad team. So what was their record? Say the record.
56-106, wouldn't it? Let me double check my math here.
I just want you to say it. And don't spray it.
56-106.
That's god awful.
That's right around 50 games below 500.
That's terrible. That's worse than terrible.
It's historically bad.
And again, what can they be? What's their ceiling? I don't know. I do not know. But they are so dramatically better. Dramatically better. And it's not smoke and mirrors. We've talked about the real reasons. All you have to do is just, hey, let's compare rotations. And right there, anyone that knows anything about baseball could just look at the rotations and think, damn, they were able to rebuild that in an offseason? Okay, how do they do it? Well, the trade for Cole Reagans last year, and he was part of that, but he certainly wasn't the reason why they lost 106 games. But they acquired Cole Reagans last year. They open up the checkbook, and they sign Michael Wacha, and they sign Seth Lugo. Brady Singer has been the holdover. The holdovers, starring Paul Giamatti, watch it, very good. He deserved an Academy Award. Excellent performance. Thumbs up from Jake. That's our guy. I'll watch him in anything. Doesn't matter. And then the emergence of a young guy in Alec Marsh who won the job to be the fifth starter. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, it's not. You know, to have this revamped rotation. And I'm talking about comparing it to opening day last year. They had to make one of the best trades they've made in the past couple of decades. They had to go out and pay two guys, kind of overpay two guys to come here and pitch. They already had Brady Singer, and then a talented prospect who's always had good stuff, but has just put up just not very good numbers in the minors. How seemingly put it all together. And they've turned him around to the point where he went out and got the fifth starting spot.
Back to the drawing board.
It sounds easy, but it's not. That's how it came together. And they did go out and make key acquisitions and add to the bullpen. Homie. I didn't want to hear about that the first week of the season. I was, you know, I didn't like that bullpen. Bad bullpen. Boo. Now I like this bullpen. This bullpen's not giving up any runs. And they were aggressive in trying to, you know, rebuild the bullpen.
Yes.
Signing Will Smith. Signing Chris Stratton. Trading for Nick Anderson. They just didn't sit on their hands. Or their thumbs or whatever.
Ned Yost used to say, sit on your thumbs.
Sit on. He said you did.
By the way, 106 losses last year ties the franchise record for most losses in a season. The 2005 Royals also lost 106. I traveled with that team. That was a...
I'm not sitting there sitting on my thumbs, you know, I'm just...
Right. They did not sit on their thumbs in the offseason. All right?
I'm not sitting there sitting on my thumbs, you know, I'm just...
Boy, Jake really gets a kick out of that.
Oh, Nedley.
Surprised it's taking you this long to play that since you returned.
I haven't heard from Nedley for a long time.
Glad I was able to trigger that for you.
I'm not sitting there sitting on my thumbs. You know, I'm just...
Good.
And also, remember, speaking of your analytics guys that you took to task yesterday, you remember back in February when... The Royals traded 22-year-old prospect David Sandlin for reliever John Schreiber from the Red Sox. Boy, yep. People were pissed off, you know. What are they doing trading this prospect for a reliever? What's wrong with them?
We've got projections that say he could really...
Like a week after, this minor league system sucks. They don't have... They don't have any top 100 prospects. The cupboard is bare. This minor league system is an embarrassment. A week later, they trade one of those prospects for a good reliever. How can you trade a prospect for a guy that can help you right now? Wait a minute, last week you said, how can you trade a guy with that upside for someone who might help you right now? What are they thinking? What are you thinking? I don't know. We don't trade them. We do trade them. The system sucks, but don't trade any of them. Help me. And so, and guess what? John Schreiber looks pretty good, doesn't he? And I get it. It's not, you know, you don't want to do that all the time. And I want to, you know, every month say, hey, here's another prospect for a reliever. No, but when you're trying to rebuild a bullpen and you identify, look, relievers, hey, you relievers cost a lot. Go ask the Rangers what it cost them to get Aroldis Chapman. Now, are they mad? No, they won a championship. But the Royals got Cole Reagans for a reliever. And so I was, you know, David Sandlin might do something someday. But when you're trying to build back the respectability, I was okay with it. And yesterday when we asked, hey, Bluma, you're a former Royals reliever, who impresses you the most so far? Whose stuff do you like? Who do you say first? Schreiber. Like, okay. All right. And at the end of the year, we might be talking, damn, that was a hell of a trade. Remember when they did that deal with the White Sox or the Red Sox in February? Because he might end up being one of the most valuable relievers in the bullpen. And so, again, I just rattled off four or five moves they did to try to rebuild the bullpen. And going out and adding Hunter Renfroe. And you can agree or disagree with him. We'll see how it works out. But they added Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier to be utility guys. I mean, they did a lot. And so, and my point is, that gives you reason to believe that what we're watching is real. Because there's evidence, there's facts, there's moves, there's things they did that are directly leading to this hot start. And oh, by the way, they had this nucleus, like we keep talking about, that they decided, okay, after a year of painful evaluation, here's the guys we're going to build around. Bobby Witt Jr., signed him to an extension. Michael Garcia, he's our third baseman. Cole Reagans, he's our ace. Vinny Pasquantino, he's going to be a big bopper for us as a first baseman. Now, he's struggling right now, but a couple weeks later on in the month, whenever, when he gets hot, that'll look good. Give him some grace. He's coming back from a difficult injury to come back from, that shoulder injury. I still believe in Vinny. And another one of those guys that they believe in, Brady Singer. That looks pretty good, too. And so, long, long answer to a short question. Are the Royals, are they good? Yeah. Yes. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why I just gave you. And oh, by the way, go back to before last year, our excitement when they hired Matt Quatrero. There was no manager that was going to turn that baseball team into a good baseball team last year. And so he was part of the evaluation process. Right? Did everything go perfect? No. Was he perfect? No. But they hired him for a reason. Because he came from the Cleveland organization and the Tampa organization. He came from winning organizations. His philosophies lined up with what the Royals were looking for in a manager. And so it's okay to still be excited about him, too.
All right, thank you, baby.
I know some of the excitement wore off. Like, oh, this, oh, 106 losses. I'm not going to hold him accountable. You know? I mean, you could name any, bring Joe Torre in, and he'd have lost 102 games. I don't know. So, whatever.
He would have found a way to manage,
right,
manage the three maybe, more
maybe,
wins.
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know why I said Joe Torre. I just, Casey Stengel, whoever. Ned Yost, someone. Bring him, name your manager.
I'm not sitting there sitting on my thumbs.
Tony Pena.
You know, they revamped their staff. There's a lot of reasons to believe this is real, and the Royals are absolutely headed in the right direction. And oh, by the way, they're backing it up with some results. Am I telling you they're going to win the division? No. Am I telling you they're going to win a wild card spot? No. But you can dream on it. They might.
Thank you, my friend.
I'm not at all. I'm also going to tell you they're not. I would have told you from opening day and every day of the season last year, they're not. There's no chance this team's going to the playoffs last year. I don't know, man. There's a lot of talent. There's a rebuilt rotation, a rebuilt bullpen, exciting young players, supplemented with some key veteran acquisitions, and a good, solid manager that's on the upswing. There's a lot of things I like about this baseball team. So, yeah, the Royals are pretty damn good right now, and it's fun. 7-4, and I want more. Thank you. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Still out. Jake continues to ignore my DMs. By the way, they have nothing to do with the show. So,
well, you had a couple that had to do with the show.
Well, the two most recent ones don't.
You got to be careful with this.
Yeah, you got to watch yourself. One is a Sopranos tweet that I like. The other one we talk about in the commercial break. You think I should read that second one on the air?
Do I think you should?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, but would I suggest it? I probably wouldn't.
Does it make you laugh?
I probably would not suggest you doing that.
Well, if that's what he really said.
Well. I hope it is.
A lot of smoke around maybe Scott Drew in the Kentucky job. What you think of that?
I mean, I saw a couple of fake accounts out there reporting that he was already taking the job, right, last night. And then I guess there's some real smoke around it, too. Made me think about it. I kind of would have been with DeCourcy where it just doesn't seem like it would fit for him as well as Baylor fits for him.
Yes, sir.
But like you said, there's a price for everything.
One of the guys that's usually really good when it comes to Kentucky sports is Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
By the way, did you see that Netflix series that he was featured on with former WWE star Al Snow?
No.
About the small wrestling company that they own now. And the day-to-day operations of it.
Who's Scott Drew?
No, Matt Jones.
Okay. I was like, wow.
There goes Jake. Scott Drew is not
about Matt Jones
right.
Being great at, you know, covering Kentucky, but I was like.
It was really interesting.
I loved Al Snow. Everybody wants more head.
Dude, if you watch that, you'll love him even more.
I loved him, man. He'd come out with that. Prosthetic
oh, dude,
head.
Yeah, dude, it was really. It's about Ohio Valley Wrestling, which was a breeding ground for many wrestling superstars that you would know and love, Jake. But it's wrestlers. It's a documentary series on Netflix. It's kind of got the feel of like Last Chance Year or whatever. And it's about, you know, Matt Jones grew up a wrestling fan, and he's a big sports radio star and owns a big sports bar, but then also owns part of this wrestling company now, and all the, you know, old-school wrestlers hate him because how he's trying to change the business. It's really good, dude. It's really, you would love it. You would love it. Anyway, that's Matt Jones, and he's usually really good when it comes to Kentucky-oriented news and stories, and he said Kentucky's list last night. He said Kentucky's list is number one, Danny Hurley, number two, Scott Drew, number three, Billy Donovan. I would be very surprised if it got past number two, is what he said. And he said Kentucky fans should be thrilled with any one of them because they've all won national championships. And there's only, what, seven active coaches that have done that. So, we'll see.
If Drew goes to Kentucky, who is Baylor's first phone call
Jerome
to?
Tang?
I'm not trying to be a smartass. That's.
I mean, why wouldn't you put two and two together? And
that would be your first assumption, right?
Doesn't mean
he'll take the call.
There was a lot of people that thought he would take the Arkansas job, and he didn't. So.
Right. But that would be naturally the first name that gets thrown out there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if those dominoes fall.
Somebody tweeted at me yesterday and said that you're motivated by this. You can't wait for Tang to leave K-State. I could find the tweet, but
I don't remember even talking about him yesterday.
Yeah, thank you.
If I'm just thinking purely as a KU fan, yeah, I probably would love for him to leave. But as a sports talk radio person in Kansas City, I want him to stay because I think he's going to win at K-State, and I think that we have a better job when everybody's winning around here.
Jeff Goodman had this tweet. I asked four SEC head coaches to anonymously rank the following six Kentucky candidates as far as who do you fear the most coming to Kentucky. And the candidates were Billy Donovan, Sean Miller, Chris Beard, Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates, Scott Drew. Who do you think they fear the most out of those six?
Billy Donovan.
Jake, what do you think their answer was? Four sitting SEC coaches.
Scott Drew.
Scott Drew 1, Bruce Pearl 2, Nate Oates 3, Billy Donovan 4, Sean Miller 5, Chris Beard 6. Scott Drew.
Yeah.
I think I agree with that. Drew.
Yeah, I get it.
Interesting.
I think Scott Drew would be home run.
I mean, look, Billy Donovan's been out of the college game for a while now. It's a different landscape.
Yeah.
So he might be the best coach on that list, straight basketball coach.
Scott Drew's pretty good.
He's a real good coach. I just wonder if his style works under that big of a microscope.
I mean,
you know, Baylor, you kind of get to do what you want. You know, there's no real microscope that you're living in, or whatever it's called, living under. We talked about Kentucky, man. That's a different beast. They want to.
This matters if you win.
Well, right. That's true.
Yeah. If you're winning, they're not going
to
be.
But you guys know what I'm talking about. You go to those bigger programs, all of a sudden there's more people to please.
Hello,
more
how you doing?
Yeah, I mean, and maybe he could turn all that charm on and be.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
I could see them.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, liking him. Oh yeah. I don't know.
Maybe they like. Maybe it works perfectly for him there.
I don't know what I think about it. Just I said, I could see that.
Yeah,
I could see that working out. I don't know.
He'd be very different than Calipari, too, which I think the fans there would. Well, you always want something different than the guy that you just got rid of.
A new voice. I mean, they are quite different in personality-wise.
That's so interesting because, like, again, unless it's Billy Donovan because he's in the NBA, you know, whoever Kentucky hires, then, like you said, if it's Baylor, who's going to go there? It's whatever, you know, what's the next domino to fall? So, like, there's a bunch of schools who are like, okay, what's next? And, like, and you're right, if you're K-State fans, like, all right, if this is Scott Drew that goes to Kentucky, then what's that mean for us? What's that mean for Baylor? Are they coming after Jerome Tang? And are we going to be able to fight them off? And maybe they can, so.
I think if I were Kentucky, I think Bruce Pearl might be at the top of my list.
So, if that was your school, that would be the guy for you?
I think that would be number one.
I was just thinking about that. If this was a school I was rooting for, what would, you know?
Now, that's with my limited knowledge of what Kentucky really is. You know what I mean? Because, like, we have our perception of what Kentucky is as a job from here, not being right in the thick of it. But
say it was KU.
If it was KU, well, we got to have Hurley. I mean, you know, that's. I know he's not taking the job. I know he's not taking
the job. How do you know that?
I mean, because he's an East Coast guy.
I mean, I'm running that through my mind.
Oh, yeah, I mean, try. I think I'm saying no.
I think Billy Donovan would be my guy.
There's a shelf life to that, though, I think, man.
Yeah.
You know? That reminds me of the, remember for a while, every NFL opening for a head coach? Bill Cowher. Got to call Bill Cowher.
Yeah.
And at some point, no, you don't.
Right.
You don't have to call Bill Cowher anymore. I think we're getting, at some point, close to that.
Yeah,
maybe.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
God, I don't know that I really would be fired up about any of those guys if I was KU. I guess.
But I will say this. It seemed like the word out there was, you know, Billy Donovan, one of the reasons he hated recruiting. He's got tired of everything. Yeah. It's different now.
Just pay him.
Yeah. It's different.
It is.
A lot different. So
maybe
that would be more attractive to him. But still, it's just like, you know. There's a certain shelf life to being gone and being able to come back. And
for me, it'd be between Scott Drew and Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Scott Drew coaching at Kansas?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know how KU fans would react to that.
Yeah. Well. Not well.
I don't know how they would react.
Like, I don't
to
see Scott Drew going, you know, West Coast or East Coast or whatever.
No.
But I can see Scott Drew in Kentucky. I can see Scott Drew somewhere in the Midwest.
Yep.
Mike DeCourcy always talks about fit.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, Danny Hurley, it's hard to, like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mike Boddicker's in here. Mike, let's listen to, I'll let you pick. Would you like to hear from Salvador Perez or Bobby Witt Jr. or Cole Reagans?
Well, watching the game, I'd like to hear Cole Reagans' thoughts how he felt last night.
All right, then. Shockingly, the starting pitcher wants to hear from the starting pitcher. Let's hear Cole Reagans and what he said after the game.
A lot of pitches through the first two innings. Felt like I finished strong. Felt like I made some good pitches when I needed to. Bases loaded, no outs. You know, getting out of there with one, I thought that was really big. I thought I made some bad pitches that they made me pay for, but I also thought I made some good ones that they just put a good swing on it.
Well, what's the outcome on some of those looking to make good pitches? Is it going the way you want it to? Typically, you're just like your mindset about keeping grinding like that, putting up a zero in that fifth inning, for example.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I make a good pitch. It's just a tip of the cap, you know. They're good players. We're good players. It's like sometimes that's just what happens. You just keep attacking, keep going at it.
What did you see out of the bullpen coming in after you?
Huge. I mean, those guys are incredible. They pitched incredible. They kept us right there. That's really, really big.
To 3 runs, how do you feel like that gave the offense a chance to scratch? I mean, 3 runs is not
insurmountable. Yeah, I mean, those guys can put up a crooked number at any point, so just that's my goal, just keep us in the game, because I know at any point they can sit there and they can score 2-3 runs in an inning, and then, you know, we're right back in and got the lead.
Just when you're commanded, you feel me that laid off some good pitches.
Yeah, I mean, first pitch strikes I don't think were great tonight. I thought I made some, like you said, I mean, I made some good pitches they laid off of. It's just like just trying to keep telling myself attack, just go at them, you know. So.
That was Cole Reagans, and I don't know if you listened to what we talked about in the first segment and what my thoughts were about Cole Reagans.
A little bit.
You know, I'm always impressed to see when a starting pitcher maybe doesn't have their best up or doesn't have their command or fighting whatever, and they're able to gut through. It took him well over 90 pitches to get through his 5 innings, gave up 10 hits in 5 innings, but limited the damage and only gave up 3 runs, and that allowed the Royals to be in position to come back and ultimately win the game.
Well, I think you've heard me say this about 50 times since I've been on air.
51 now, come on.
Okay, 51 times. Your job is a starting pitcher, and you don't know what you're going to get that day. You give your best effort, and you give your team and yourself a chance to win a ball game. And that's what Reagans did last night. He didn't have his command, his location. I'd say more location. His stuff is great, obviously. But, you have to get ahead of hitters, and you have to stay out of the middle of the plate. And he didn't. But you have those games. But limiting that team to 3 runs in 5 innings, pretty damn good when you don't have your command. He pitched out of tough times and had some struggles right through the early innings. And I agree with him. I thought he was starting to get his command and his location that last inning. But he's up at 100 pitches, and it's like, oh, you're 100 pitches in the fifth. You're not gonna go too deep in this game. But you give him a chance to win, and they did. Even though it was softball, beer league softball style, they still won. I shut the game off after the ninth inning because I refuse to watch any baseball where they stick a runner out there.
You're so mad about that.
Well, you showed them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care. I won't watch it.
You missed out on a fun ending.
Really?
Missed out on a Salvi walk-off.
Yeah, ooh, walk-off. But we had guys
walk-off.
Ooh, we had guys on First and third, second and third with one or no outs and didn't score. Okay? So
yes, he was no given. They were going to score in the 10th.
That's the thing. Nobody will bunt. Nobody does anything. So it doesn't really matter. I can't sit there and say, okay, one pitch, one hit. If it was a home run, fine. But just a hit, you shouldn't win. You have to work to win a game.
Salvi drove it to the wall.
Yeah, which is, with Salvi, it might have been a single. You don't know. he's getting slower, guys.
Hey, you know what? Aren't you glad that it didn't cost the bullpen to have to pitch more innings? That game could have gone on forever.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I just won't watch it. I refuse to watch a beer league old men's softball.
You just don't like the rule.
I hate the rule. I think it's crazy. It's stupid.
Nate loves the rule and says it's better for baseball.
Does. Yeah. For him it is, not for me.
I want to go to bed. Yeah.
I went to bed. I didn't really care.
Yeah. But I'd like to I got to see a walk off before I went to bed.
Good for you.
Woo. Yeah, good for me. It was fun. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Look at Salvi.
Perfect.
Royals win.
I'm happy they won.
7-4.
We'll get into the Royals because I've seen every team in this division play with my baseball package. We're as good, if not better, than any team in this division.
As long as it doesn't go to extra innings, he's watching.
I won't watch extra innings.
I didn't go to bed because I watched episode one of season two of American Rust. No one told me that was
ever asleep?
No. Did you watch season one?
I did not.
With Jeff Daniels?
What's it on?
Isn't it on Prime?
I'll check it out.
Oh, it's really good. Oh, we talked about it. It's been a little bit since season one came out. I think it was 2021.
He was in the mountains.
It was really good.
I missed about 2 years of TV.
Well,
you didn't miss anything, brother.
Thank you. I get it, Bud.
You do.
I do.
You do.
I don't love the rule.
I don't like it much.
I'm not going to let it ruin my enjoyment of the game.
I think that rule should be instituted in, like, the 13th inning. I think you should at least...
12th.
12th's fine. I'd be all right with that, too. But just to start straight up in the 10th with it, I'm not about that. And I get it. A guy who played as long as you did, changing the game.
I pitched in the 18th inning out of the bullpen one time. No,
but, hey.
See what you got.
I get it.
Do you?
I do. I'm not a fan of it.
I refuse to watch it. That's my choice.
Right.
I shut the game off. I will not watch it.
I think you watched it.
No. No, I did not. You can ask my wife. Game off.
You protest too much.
I can't stand the rules.
I'm not kidding. I think he watched
it. He did.
He doesn't want us to believe he watched it.
Do you have your Holy Bible in your bag?
No.
I will swear on that.
Let's not go there, Bud. No. Come on now.
I can.
He has a Bible in his bag?
I might have one in mine.
Good. Get it in here. I'll put my hand on it, and I'll swear I did not watch the end of that game.
No, but I had it off. This is the true story. You probably say this. I had to download. This is so funny to me. I had to look up and download a prayer to say before taking a test for Selena last night because she's nervous about a test. And so we looked up a prayer before testing.
Who's a patron saint of taking tests?
There's official prayer to. So
yeah.
I had to swear on that.
She's got
to
work.
I hope so. Yeah.
Well, I'll pray for her.
Yeah.
She'll do great.
Patron saint of taking tests.
Yeah. See?
Stephen St. John.
I wish I knew about that saint in college.
There it is. Prayer before a test. There you go.
Yeah. We said it together. I had to read it out loud.
That's nice.
Did you do it in your voice?
I said, I hope this works.
Your special voice?
Yeah. We'll take a break back after this on WHP.